But let's go ahead and open our Bibles to chapter 5 of Romans. With all of this set in our heart, incredible what God has really purposed for today and just ministering to us. Let's turn our Bibles to Romans 5 as we continue our study in Romans here. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 21 today. Go ahead and grab your outline. Let me get mine out, kind of get myself organized here. It's good to follow along into your outline. I've entitled today's message, The Basis for Justification. What the Apostle Paul is doing here, he's really kind of sort of wrapping up what he's been teaching us on the area of justification, which we've been looking at for quite a while, being made right before God and all of what justification means. And he prepares us to understand what sanctification is. So he's transitioning out of the doctrine of justification, being made right with God, being acquitted of sin, being reconciled to God, and all that, the life of that, transitioning to what now that looks like as God would work in our life in our sanctification. But in conclusion, he says, here's the basis for being made right before God. We're kind of answering the question in this way. How can God do that? Have you ever thought of that? You know, that God can justify us, that God can impute credit to us, Christ's righteousness, that God can do that, and it's right that he does that, and he's able to do that kind of thing. Paul is answering that question in a sense. How can God do that? You ever thought of that? How can he do that? How can he impute me with the righteousness of Christ just through faith? How can God bring that about? Basically, what Paul says is he says this. In Adam, and we all come from Adam, he says this. In Adam, and we're all in Adam, we all die, we're all sinners, we all have a sinful nature, we're all slaves of sin, we're all separated from God, and we will die physically, and we are all spiritually dead, and we're destined to be separated from God in eternity. Death will reign in our life forever because we're in Adam. This is what he's going to teach. I'm going to give it to you simply at the beginning. That's what he's going to teach us here in Romans 5, 12 through 21. Because all are in Adam, all sinned, all are separated from God, all have sin's nature, all are slaves of sin, all are destined for separation from God in eternity. Death will reign in their life forever because they're in Adam. All are born in Adam. But then he teaches us this, but all that are in Christ have the new birth, have been born again, have new life, spiritually alive to God, no longer slaves of sin. They will be with God from all the eternity. The life of God, or God's life in them, reigns in their life now and forever because they are in Christ. So we're really starting to talk about us being in union, our lives being in Christ. In Christ, God can give us or credit us with Christ's life. In Adam, God has credited us or imputed to us the life of Adam, sin. That's how God does that. He did it in Adam, and now he's doing it in Christ. That's what we want to grab here today. That's what we want to understand and what we're going to get in the truth that's here. There's a lot here. There's a lot of things. We're going to pull some things out when we get into chapter 6. But what Paul is doing here, he says, after he describes God's judgment of sin, back in Romans 1 and 2, that the wrath of God is a reality against sin, it's a reality against all unrighteousness, and we are all sinners and we're all condemned, he explains that you can be made right before God, you can be forgiven of sin and justified through faith in Jesus, and God credits you or imputes to you his righteousness, Christ's righteousness. So by grace, you are justified then, and then he shows us in the life of Adam, in Abraham, it's always been a faith, from even in the beginning, it's always been faith in God and God's provision, and by grace that God rescues, that God saves, that God delivers, that God credits us with righteousness. He imputes it to us. It's always been by faith. And then in chapter 5, we learned the Apostle Paul taught us about justification's life, what all that means that we're made right before God, the life that we have. We have peace with God, stand in grace, have all hope and glory. We possess God's divine love for us. We're certainty in our salvation. We have joy in God. We're reconciled to God. But the question arises, how can he do that? We know he's God. We know God can do anything. And we know in his word that he has declared that that's what he does. Through faith in him, he credits or imputes the righteousness of Christ on our behalf. We know we're not righteous. We know we still sin. But how can God do that? How in humanity, through faith in Christ, how can he do that? How can he credit us with the righteousness of Christ? And so he teaches, basically here, he teaches, well, I did it before in Adam. I credited you with Adam's sin because you are in Adam. In Christ, I credit you with his righteousness because now you're in Christ. That's what means your life is in Christ, that your life is in union with Christ. If you're not in Christ, if you're not in union with Christ, you are credited being in Adam. If you believe and trust in Christ, put your faith in Christ, believe in him, God places you in Christ and you are credited with the righteousness of Christ. That's what he's teaching here. But he's going to get into some really deep things. You know, well, the illustration, the analogy here that he uses here is pretty simple, but the truths that are taught aren't really that simple. A lot of them we get to take by faith. Let me give you just one, and I won't cover them all. So in Adam, when in Adam, God credited all of us with Adam's sin, the one sin, we'll get into it. And all men fail. All men have sinful nature. We're all fallen. When you believed in Christ, God credited you his righteousness, and he placed you in Christ. When we get into Romans 6, he placed you in Christ when Christ was on the cross and when Christ was raised from the dead. You are in Christ. That's when he did it. How God does that, he doesn't explain, but that's the truth of God. Because when Adam sinned, every one of us were in Adam. Every one of us were there in the loins of Adam. When Christ died on the cross, when he raised from the dead, everyone that would believe in him were in a sense, the loins of Christ. That's what he teaches here. That's the truth. That's what it is. That's why I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but who Christ lives in me. My flesh has been crucified. It says in Romans 6 that when he died, I died to sin. When he rose, I rose to new life. It's not an analogy in a sense or something that he's teaching on later that is, it's kind of like that. No, he says it's exactly like that. It's exactly like that. In creation, in Adam, every human being was in Adam. And when Adam sinned and when God's judgment came, everyone in humanity sinned, God said. And that's how I see it. It's how God said it. And everyone that believed in Christ, trusts in Christ, was in Christ when Christ was crucified and rose again. God says, that's how I did it. That's how it is. Isn't that incredible? You have to take that by faith. But that's what got you. There's some things in here that are like that. But basically, what we're going to look at today is Paul in this teach us that the basis for all of that. And I had to say all of that to set this because this is what Paul is teaching. What Paul is describing is this is how God can do that in Romans 12 through 21. This is how God can give you or credit you with Christ's life. It's a simple contrasting analogy. Listen to this. Through one man, Adam, through one act, his sin, all died. Through one man, Jesus, through one act, sacrifice, all can have life. That's what he teaches. That's what he's showing us. God constituted that. He declared that. Simple analogy. Like I said, all the truths aren't as simple. Look at verse 12 with me, and we'll just go from there. Now, was that helpful or was that confusing? The consensus is out. We're not real sure, right? No, but that's what it is. It's meant to be helpful. It's meant for us to understand as we walk through this. This should bring clarity to your mind. Verse 12, Paul says, therefore, so it's a concluding statement. So then, he's concluding what he's taught us on justification. Therefore, just as through one man, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Pretty simple enough. Through one man, Adam, in his disobedience to God of one command, you can eat from any tree of the garden. Eat freely from any one of them. That one, tree of good and evil, do not touch, do not eat, you'll surely die. Adam, uh-uh. Everyone, freedom to do it. All right? Adam ate of that tree. He ate of that tree, sin entered the world. That's what he's talking about. Through one man, sin entered the world. It's not sins, it's singular, it's the state of sin. It entered God's creation, it entered the world. Corrupted all of the earth, Romans 8. Corrupted Adam and Eve and all his seed. They, Adam and Eve now have a sin nature, are slaves of sin, and are fallen. That's what's meant by sin entered the world. The consequence of one sin's, the state of sin, is to be a slave of sin and to have a sin nature. That's what he's talking about here. That's what God through his word is wanting us to understand. Through one man, the state of sin, to be a slave of sin, to be fallen, to have a sinful nature entered God's creation of the world. Through sin, death entered, is what he said. The wages of sin is death, physical death, spiritual death. This happened all like this. Romans 6:23, Adam and Eve are now dead in their trespasses and sins and will die. Ephesians 2:1. But so will we. So will all of humanity that comes forth now because of Adam's sin. Death spread to all men, he said, meaning all humanity. All humanity was in the loins of Adam. Physical death, spiritual death, at the moment of Adam's sin, spread to all humanity. That's what he's meaning. Sin nature, slave of sin. You were there, I were there. That's why Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and wasn't born of man, because he would have been a slave of sin. And he would have been had a sinful nature. Jesus didn't have a sinful nature, and he wasn't a slave to sin like fallen humanity, because he wasn't born of man. He was born of the Holy Spirit. He could choose to sin. He had to deny himself, but he wasn't like humanity in the sense that we mean here. He was not a slave to sin, and he didn't have a sin nature. We do. It all came from Adam. Isn't that interesting? This is what God wants us to understand. Well, don't you kind of go like, well, what? I wanted to try. How come I didn't get to be born into the world and I make an own decision? I mean, we're all in Adam. You know, God, that's really not fair. You know, he sinned, one sin, one command, and all humanity's fallen forever until Christ came to rescue. I get it, but that's the way they are. I wanted a chance. Didn't you want a chance to do it on your own? Let me put it this way. If you could have done it on your own, then Christ died without purpose, didn't he? He wouldn't have to die, because some people could be born and not sin, and so they don't become a sinful nature. They don't have they're not slaves of sin, and so they're not corrupted. Because then, you know, there's some people that could be born that could choose not to sin. Well, then Christ didn't need to die, did he? Because there would have been another way for you to be saved. It would have been you not sinning. And so God said in Adam, no, I already know humanity. You're all the same. If I would have started you off all like Adam, not a slave to sin, not a sinful nature, but just the ability to choose God and just either follow God or not follow God, every single one of the humanity that I make, even though I want them to love me and they desire, and I did all that, they would make its choice to not do what I commanded them to do, and then they would be fallen. So Christ had to die. By the one transgression, death reigned through humanity, Romans 5:17. We're all born in iniquity. We're born sinners, born separated from God, sin nature, slave of sin, Psalm 51:5. Not that we sinned and we became, we're all born that way because we're from the loins of Adam, because we're all in Adam. This is God. God did this. I didn't do this. The church didn't do this. God did this. Look at verse 13 and 14. History shows death reigns over all men. This is very interesting. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed or credited where there was no law. Now, we know the truth of God's word that he didn't credit or impute to us that we broke the law when there was no law. But nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam until Moses, even over those who had not sinned in the likeness of the offense of Adam, who is a type of him. Listen, everybody was dying, and everybody was a slave of sin and was separated and had a sinful nature, even though the law hadn't come yet. That's what God is saying. Even before people died, in Adam, all humanity will die physically and are spiritually dead, separated from God with a sinful nature, slave to sin. History showed that. Through one man, one act, all die. And we're all in Adam. And so God credited us with his act of sin. We were all there. All of us are fallen in Adam, all sinned. That's what he's saying. That's the truth of it. So all humanity is sinned. This is what we are. We're all in Adam. There's nothing else. There isn't other things. This is good. This is defining. This is clarity to us as we understand in our life here, like in this. So all humanity is born this way, brought into this life this way, and needs to be rescued from it. And Adam is a type of Christ, he says, a sure foreshadowing of Christ, because in Adam, all that are in Adam are sinned. They're slaves of sin, all the things I said. 1 Corinthians 15:45, the first Adam became a living soul. In him all die. the second Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. In him, you have been given God's life. That's the only way that we're going to be rescued from being in Adam is to be in Christ. Just as all die in Adam, all that are in Christ, he gives life to. That's how God can do this. You see what I'm talking about now? God is showing us, this is how I can do this. I did it within creation as it came. All Adam came. He's a type of Christ, and all are in Adam. And when he sinned, everybody was born slaves of sin. All that believe in Christ, trust in Christ, I place them in Christ, and all of them have the life of Christ. They are righteous, forgiven, all the things because they're in Christ. Pretty simple when you look at it that way, right? But that's just the truth of the gospel, the truth of God and what he's doing in the world and his work. See, it's not based upon how good you were or how bad you were or how terrible you were or how good you try or what you do, or it's based upon who you're in. It's pretty simple like that. And everyone's in Adam. God's not looking about, well, yeah, you're in Adam, but you're kind of a little better than Adam was. Well, you're still in Adam. Right? Right? And all the women, well, I'm in Eve. Well, you came from the rib of Adam. You're in Adam. Sorry, you can't get out that way. Okay? No, this is really, and so the clarity that Paul, hey, this is the basis of justification. It really just lays out for us and just cuts off all of this, because we all struggle with, don't we all struggle with somehow we're some kind of work orchestrated goodness, kind of participated in all of this? Am I the only one? Don't we struggle with that in this world? Kind of a works-oriented, kind of participate, kind of I'm good, this kind of brought part of it. Every single one of you are in Adam, unless you're in Christ. That God just really brings clarity to our lives in that. How do you get into Christ? How do you get to be in Christ, you guys? How does your life become in Christ? Is there more than one way? Right? You know, is it all roads lead to God and that you do these kind of things? All roads that don't lead you to being in Christ lead to leave you in Adam. And in Adam, God's going to judge you with eternal damnation. It brings so much clarity to all of the garbage that's out there in the world that gets bombarded. Well, yeah, they're good people, nice people, and they, you know, in their heart, they worship this, and they're dedicated, and they're committed, and they do these. And God says, that is irrelevant. This isn't about people. This is about me. All of you are in Adam, and the only way to be in Christ is through faith in Christ. Period. It's so helpful, and it's only by faith in Christ, trusting in him, believing in him. It's not by good works. It's not by nice people. It's redemption, right, Brandon? He purchased us, bought us back. We're over on the wrong side, right? And then through believing and trusting in Christ, I've been bought and paid for by the blood of Christ, redeemed, and God placed my life in Christ. It's the only reason why I do anything different. Because in Ken, I am in Adam, and I'm just selfish. And if you're not in Christ, you cannot not be selfish. That's what I want to get across to us today as we look at this. There's no point of looking like you're in Christ if you're not in Christ. There's no point. It doesn't get you anything. It's important for us to recognize that and know that. God wants us in Christ because we're all in Adam. Look what he says next. The apostle contrasts the condemning act of Adam and the redemptive act of Christ in verses 15 through 21. Look what he says in 15 through 16. He says this. It's pretty simple in what he's talking about. It's just a contrasting analogy of the two acts. 15 and 16, the offense versus the free gift. Look what he says. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the one, the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Verse 16, the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from the one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from the many transgressions, resulting in justification. Now, Adam's offense brought condemnation and death, while the free gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ brings justification and life. Pretty simple. And when he, you know, don't get confused and let people and your mind take you away. When Paul says that in Adam's transgression many died, it just means this: the many that were born died. However many gets born before Christ comes back, the many of them, they died. And when he says the gift of grace in Christ abounded to the many, it means those who believed in Christ, who are born again. We know that God, this isn't, you know, everybody gets saved because it's in that manner. Don't let that be a doctrine or something that comes across your heart or mind to tell you that, well, God's just going to save everybody. No, you're either in Christ or in Adam. And the many that come that are born in Adam are going to be to condemnation. The many that are born again in Christ are going to be justification. It's that simple. It's not more complicated. It's not convoluted. It has nothing to do with anything other than what God is communicating here. The heart of the comparison that God is giving us is that the act of salvation is a measurably greater impact than the one act of damnation. That's the much more in the text. God's grace found in Christ is greater than the accumulation of man's sins. It's more powerful than all of our sins together. As devastating as the sin of Adam was, Christ's redemptive act not only restores man's spiritual life, but gives him the very life of God, the life that one day we'll share in the glory of Christ and our glorification, where we will never sin. It's way more than Adam, what God brought back. It's way more than Adam. It's the very life of God in us. By the power of God, it can't be corrupted. We cannot follow it. It can't. Listen, Jesus broke the power of sin and death. Sin and death cannot touch the power of Christ. Adam's sin is reversible. The redemption, the justification, the salvation of Jesus Christ is not reversible. In Adam, God can change that. In Christ, God can't even change. That's what we want to get. If I'm in Christ, God can't change it. Through his promise, his word, that if he's placed me in Christ, that I've been saved, and now my life is hidden in Christ with God, God can't change that. Anybody in Adam, God can change through faith in Jesus Christ. He can break the power of sin and death by just through you believing in him. But nothing can change the power of Christ once you're saved. And that's the comparison. That's what we're thinking about, what we're thinking with all that we have in our heart today. The next contrast, death and life, verse 17. For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Just another simple comparison. Listen, Adam wasn't seen as righteous before God. He had no godly power over sin. In Adam, death reigns. In Christ, your life is in union with Christ. You're seen as righteousness in the righteousness of Christ. You have the life of Christ. You have the power over sin to choose not to sin. You walk in newness of life. That reign of life, of God's life in you, it's much more than Adam had. And he's just comparing it. The next contrast, disobedience versus obedience, verse 18 and 19. And I will dig into a lot of the depth of this as we get into Romans 6, but I just want us to capture being in Adam in Christ today. The next contrast, disobedience versus obedience, versus obedience. Adam disobeyed God and made us all sinners, is what it says. Christ obeyed God, and through faith in him, we are made righteous. Listen to what it says in 18 and 19. So then as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. For as though the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, and even so through the obedience of the one, the many were made righteous. You see, God is just comparing it, being in Adam, being in Christ, right? You just see what he's doing there, and that's what he's doing, and we're looking at that. Through disobedience and the transgression of the one act in one man, Adam, resulted in condemnation. Humanity, it says, were made sinners. Now, the word there in the Greek isn't genomai. It's a different word. It really should be translated constituted. Listen to this. Being in Adam, in his sin, resulted in all of us being condemned, but not made sinners, but constituted as sinners. It's a God word. It means to be established and declared by God as sinners, because in Adam all sin. See, so this is what God did. He declared us, he established us, he constituted us. Everybody that hadn't come yet, but were in the loins of Adam, all sinners. Because all will sin, all sinned. That's what he did. He didn't make us sinners. He constituted it, declared it. He established that it was because we were in Adam. Because God saw us as in Adam, in his one act of sin, God declared us as such, resulting in condemnation to all humanity. That's what Paul is saying here. But if you are in Christ, through the one man, through his obedience, if you receive him by faith in Christ, the abundance of grace, listen to what he says, you are to be seen as righteous, to have the gift of righteousness where God constituted you, declared you, established you as righteous, resulting in justification of life, of being made right before God, acquitted of all sin's charges. That's what he just said. In Adam, God constituted, you know the Constitution of the United States? He declared a law. He declared this was in the courtroom of God. This is what he's saying, that everybody in Adam, condemnation. Then he said, everybody that believes in Christ, I constituted this law, justification of life, righteousness. That's what God did. He did it. This is what he wants us to learn. This is the truth of God in the most foundational form of justification, the basis of it. God decided this. If you believe in Christ, he constituted, established, declared you righteous. In Adam, he declared you condemned. Doesn't matter how you live, did it? That's why when you get to the end of this, where grace abound, where sin abound, where grace abounded. And then where we struggle and understand, wow, if this is God, then by grace, man, you know, in my sin now, I can kind of just like, woo, sin abounds, grace abounds. Let's go sin some more. He'll deal with that in a minute. A couple of weeks from now, we got Easter next week. But it's because it puts on your heart, well, this is what God is doing. I'm righteous before God, even if I treat you badly today. Because God sees me in Christ. He doesn't want me to live that way. We're going to get into sanctification. But by the grace of God, that's where I stand. Law and grace, that's the last one. Let's look at it, the comparison, verse 20 through 21. The law came in so that where transgressions would increase. Let me read it again. The law came in so that the transgressions would increase, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so, grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God did not give the law to save us. There's not a book of rules that we can do. We can't follow the law. The law only is to reveal that we need a Savior, that we cannot live righteously enough, never will be. But God, in his amazing grace, has shown toward us that if we trust in Christ, place our faith in him as Lord and Savior, grace will reign through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the righteousness given to us. That's what he just said. Because in Christ, you stand in grace. Sin is no longer a master over you. You're no longer under law, but under grace. And we'll get into the sanctification next week. But I'm going to ask the praise team to go ahead and come on up. Now, I said a lot today, and I didn't get to explain as much as I wanted to today, but that's okay, because we're thinking about the cross. We're thinking about what God said in his word, and he was very basic in what he wanted us to understand today. Can I get you to look at me and not watch the team go up and look at people going in the back? Listen to what we're talking about today, what God is saying to you through his word to you, directly to you today. Each and every one of you here today, God's word being preached, being declared, being taught. We're here to hear from God, not from Ken, not from each other. God's word, I'm sharing you what God has said. If you are in Adam, you're condemned. I don't care how you live. I don't care how nice you are. I don't care how much you give the church. I don't know how many times you attend. See, God isn't into all of that. He doesn't want his people to be into all of that. He doesn't want humanity to think about you're in the right family, you were born the right way, any of that. That's the enemy. That's the enemy of God teaching to our heart, to our minds, our own flesh, telling us all these kind of things, that these are why I'm justified before God or good enough or any of that. Listen, if you are in Adam, you're condemned. God declared it. God said it. Your rituals, your traditions, any of that, worthless. I want you to hear me today. That's what God is saying. And the basis for justification, it isn't based upon you at all. It isn't. Because if you're an Adam, when Adam sinned in the garden, you were condemned. How many years ago was that? At least 6,000, right? You were condemned that moment by God, the God himself. Well, you didn't have a chance to do anything, right? This is all about thief on the cross. God isn't looking at evaluating. God is at work in his creation, created, saw that they would fall. Before the foundation of time, Christ died because he wanted to rescue, deliver, redeem his creation to himself to know him. That's what God is doing. This world isn't about America. It isn't about economy. It isn't about what people believe. It's about God and God alone and what God is doing in the world. And if you're in Christ, God rescued you to be the beauty of what God is doing in the world. That's what it's about. At the end of all of this, when we stand before the Lord and give an account of what God has done, or what we have done in the body, we're going to give an account of what we've done with Christ. But if you are in Christ, you're completely righteous before God. All your sin is forgiven because he declared it. He constituted it. The important question comes today, which one are you in? It's not hard to know. It's not. It's not complicated to know. When you get beyond your flesh and you get down just in your soul and God speaks to your heart, you know, if I'm in Christ, I have life. I know I have life. I know I've been reconciled to God. I know that God's grace is over my life. I know that I'm forgiven. I know because I know God, because God came. God's not vague in that. But he just wanted you to know if you're just still in Adam, you're condemned no matter what you do. It's less you believe in Christ. With that on our heart, let's stand for our closing song before we pray.